Book 7, Canto 1, page 466 through 468. There, onward led by a fate brooding path, which toiled through the shadow of enormous trunks and under arches, misers of sunshine. They saw low thatched roofs of a hermitage, huddled beneath a patch of azure hue, in a sunlit clearing that seemed the outbreak of a glad smile in the forest's monstrous heart, a rude refuge of the thought and will of man, watched by the crowding giants of the wood. Arrived in that rough-hewn homestead, they gave, questioning no more the strangeness of her fate. Their pride and love won to the great blind king, a regal pillar of fallen mightiness, and the stately, careworn woman once a queen, who now hoped nothing for herself from life, but all things only hoped for her one child, calling on that single head from partial fate, all joy of earth, all heaven's beatitude, adoring wisdom and beauty like a young god's. She saw him loved by heaven as by herself. She rejoiced in his brightness and believed in his fate, and knew not of the evil drawing near. Lingering some days upon the forest verge, like men who lengthen out departure's pain, unwilling to separate sorrowful clinging hands, unwilling to see for the last time a face. Heavy with the sorrow of a coming day, and wondering at the carelessness of fate, who breaks with idle hands her supreme works. They parted from her with pain-fraught, burdened hearts, driven by the singularity of her fate. Helpless against the choice of Savitri's heart, they left her to her rapture and her doom in the tremendous forest's savage charge, all put behind her that was once her life, all welcomed that henceforth was his and hers. She abode with Satyavan in the wild woods. Priceless she deemed her joy so close to death. Apart with love she lived for love alone, as if self-poised above the march of days. Her immobile spirit watched the haste of time, a statue of passion and invincible force, an absolutism of sweet imperious will, a tranquility and a violence of the gods, indomitable and immutable. At first to her, beneath the sapphire heavens, the sylvan solitude was a gorgeous dream, an altar of the summer's splendor and fire, a sky-topped, flower-hung palace of the gods, and all it seems a smile on rapture's lips, and all its voices bards of happiness. There was a chanting in the casual wind, there was a glory in the least sunbeam. Night was a chrysoprase on velvet cloth, a nestling darkness for a moonlit deep. Day was a purple pageant and a hymn, a wave of the laughter of light from morn to eve. His absence was a dream of memory, his presence was the empire of a god. A fusing of the joys of earth and heaven, a tremulous blaze of nuptial rapture passed, a rushing of two spirits to be one, a burning of two bodies in one flame.